Amen. John chapter 5. After this was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. Immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that hath made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Praise God. Just want to talk to you a little while here tonight about change, about the need for change. I think that from a text like this, you could draw the conclusion that we were going to talk about possibly healing or even people salvation, people coming to the Lord and make a spiritual application to their the condition that they're in and their need to be changed and to be turned around and their life turned around. But I'd like to just make more of an application to us, to the church, to all of us. Brother Bowman has been saying recent classes, he's been saying, I've been trying to step up. I've been trying to do better and spend more time, read more in God's word and spend a little more time in prayer. From that, I just conclude that he senses his need to change, to do better, to change for the better, and to draw closer to the Lord. I don't know if you ever sense this dealing with you, this Spirit of God dealing with you about your need for change. But I do believe that just as much as God deals with us about our spiritual need to get saved and to turn our life over to the Lord, so does he continue to deal with us throughout our lives and our Christian experience, because serving the Lord and the work of God in us is a continual work of change, continuing work of transformation. And so we know that God is, he is continually working in us. That same Spirit that drew us to him is the same Spirit of God that continues to deal with us, to talk to us and say and tell us and point to the areas of our life where he wants us to change. Not only does he want to save us and draw us to him in salvation, but he also wants us to be led into his purpose for our life, led into his desire. And I don't think that most of us could even really fully comprehend all the wonderful, glorious things that God has planned for our life if we would just completely yield to him. if we would just totally give to him our life, what God's plan might be. I do know that when you serve the Lord, Romans chapter 11 and verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. You can't imagine, and especially younger people, you can't imagine the unfolding of God's will and purpose for your life. But just as you came to him to get saved, so must you always be willing to allow him to deal with you, to work in your life, and to change you. Amen. No matter how long you serve the Lord, there is always room for improvement. There is always room to grow more and to be more fruitful and to come into greater depth of his knowledge and to be more like him. And so it's an ongoing process all throughout your life. I believe that just doctrinally, justification is something that happens to you. When you get born again, you are justified. It is a work of God's grace. We're justified by faith. We're justified by his blood. We're justified by the Spirit of God. You can read all those scriptures in Romans talking about the work, how we are justified. We are made just as if we never sinned. And that's the miracle of salvation, when you are justified. But sanctification, everybody has, you know, there's differences of opinions about sanctification. I personally believe that sanctification is a continuing work, that it's an ongoing work. Not that there can't be a work of sanctification in your life, but I just really believe that it is an ongoing, continuing work of the Spirit of God in our lives. We are made holy, we are purged, and we are also set apart or consecrated to be used of the Lord for his purpose, and he just keeps on changing us if we let him. He just keeps on dealing with us and working in us to make us what he would have us to be. Ephesians 2 and 10, it says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're his workmanship. We're his handiwork. He has created us. And as the little children's song says, he's still working on us. He's still working on us. And he will all the days of your life. If you yield yourself to him, then he can keep on changing you. And you can still learn more and grow more and develop more and become more and more like him. And he can lead you into a pathway, as it says there, that we could follow the way that's ordained that we should walk. Amen. We could follow in the plan of God and the purpose of God as he unveils it. And much of the time, he unveils it one day at a time, one step at a time. It's a continuing, progressive walk with the Lord. But if we want God to use our lives, then we must ask the Lord, Lord, we want you to change us. Now, this man in our text had been sitting beside this pool of water for 38 years. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the length of years? The scripture says he's feeble, he's weak, he's impotent, he can't help himself. All of these years, he has been in this predicament, and he's waiting on the water to move. And there's a lot of different opinions about this passage of scripture, and it's not really important to me go into all the differences of opinions, but I think that we could all conclude that Jesus pretty much superseded everything that had been going on beside that pool. It says an angel would come, you know, seasonally. They would never know when. But an angel would come and stir the water, and then someone, the first one, the only one, would get help. I don't really fully understand all the implications of what was going on there, but I do know that when Jesus showed up, that he superseded everything that was going on there. Everything. And so it didn't matter what day of the week it was. It didn't matter what season it was in. It did not matter how long he had been sitting there in that predicament. What mattered is that Jesus stepped on the scene, and when he did, he asked him a question. Now, the question from the King James that I read to you here, the question was, "Wilt thou be made whole?" That same question that if we ask it in a modern terminology today, we would probably say something like, "Do you want to stay like you are? Do you want to change? Do you want things to be different? Do you want to stay in that condition that you're in?" Now, it seems like a question that already has an answer. Obviously, he would want to be healed. Obviously, you would think he would want to be healed. But his mind had been so filled because of the experience of his life. Helpless. And he said, "When the season comes, there's no man to help me. There's no one to help me get into the water. And so I just sit here waiting and longing. And I really want to change. I really want to be healed. I really want this thing to be my past and not my future. But I can't do anything about it." But Jesus said, "Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be whole?" And I think we all know the answer to that question. "Sir, I have no man." He said, "I have no one that can help me." Those had been the normal excuses in the past. But now there is a man. And the man is Jesus. And he's the one that controls the seasons. And he's the one that has power and authority. And there's no need for an angel. There's no need for water to be troubled. All he needed was for Jesus to step on the scene and to bring about change. Amen. I'm 61 years old, but I just believe that God still has things he wants to do. I believe he's got some wonderful things that he wants to do. I don't know the extent or the length of my life. I don't know all the things or how God is going to work in the future. All of that I do know is that God's plan is that all the days of our life, amen, every day that God has designed it. He knew when you were born, and he knows the last day and the last breath that you'll take in this world. And until those days, till the end of that time comes, then it's important that we allow God to be working in us, changing us, transforming us, making us into what he wants us to be. Praise God. Psalmist David said, Psalm 71:9, "Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth." Another place in the Psalm, Psalm 92:14, "They shall still bring forth fruit in old age." Praise God for all of you that think you're old. To know that God can still use you, and God can still change you, and God can still transform your life. And the same grace of God that brought you to him can still be working in your life right now to change you and to do something in you. You see, God keeps dealing with us. I don't know about you. I hope that I'm not just like a stranger or that I'm peculiar in this. But God still deals with me. God still talks to me and deals with me about things. And if I've said some things and then I later reflect on them and the Lord just kind of reminds me, "You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have allowed that. I'm thankful that God still cares enough about me to warn me and to talk to me and to deal with me. Amen. Amen. Genesis 6 and 3 kind of describes a part of the relationship that God has with mankind. The Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Men are, you know, we have, and I'm not talking just about man, I'm talking about men and women, mankind. We have the tendency to go our own way. The tendency is make our own plans, do with our life what we want to do. Our time is ours. We do with it what we want to do without considering the fact that God's plan is important. That God's purpose is important. And we're not to strive. We're not to resist the workings and the movings of God in us. When he talks to us and deals with us, the Spirit continues to deal with us and strive with us to make sure that we stay on that pathway that pleases the Lord, doing the things that He's asking us to do. Our tendency is to resist, to have our own ideas and our own plans, especially people that are kind of schedule-oriented. You make up your plan. You want to fulfill your plan. If you know people that are organizers, if they don't get to do what their plan is, it's like it ruins their day. They're just messed up. They just feel like this was a day that just means nothing. It's just all ruined. You know what God wants to do? God delights in messing up our plans. He wants to interrupt your plan. He wants to interrupt your purposes and your plans and your ways and your ideas. He wants to interrupt all of that so that He can reveal what He wants to do in your life. That same Spirit of God that strives with men to bring him from his lost condition into the kingdom of God is the same Spirit of God that keeps dealing with us, wanting us to move forward in faith, wanting us to grow in the knowledge of the Lord, wanting us to step up and to do more and to dedicate ourselves in a greater way. Have you given much thought to the fact that these are challenging days, these last days, and we are going to have to be able to meet the challenge of the last days? And the only way that we can is by the grace of God and by faith that's actively working in our lives every day. Praise the Lord. God's Spirit works and strives and deals with us. There in Genesis, it describes the work of the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the water. You know that the Spirit of God moves to bring about change. The word there is like a mother hen who broods over their little nest. And moving, that brooding over expresses the motion and the activity made by the mother, the hen, as she's hatching her eggs. That's the same Spirit of God that's at work in your life, sometimes moving and troubling and stirring you and sometimes making you feel like I'm unfulfilled. I'm not really what I need to be. I need to grow and I need to move up and to be more that the Lord would have me to be. That's the Spirit of God that's talking to you, that's dealing with you about the changes that He wants to bring into your life. I love the story of the conversion of Charles Finney. Charles Finney was a young man who grew up in a family that they weren't religious at all. They didn't serve God at all. He didn't own a Bible. There wasn't a Bible in his home. It wasn't until he was 26 years old, he said, I was a heathen until I was 26 years old. At 26, he became a lawyer, actually an apprentice to an attorney, learning to become a lawyer. And he noticed as he studied the law, there was these repeated references to Scripture. And it piqued his interest in the Bible. So he went out and for the first time at 26 years old and bought a Bible. Let me just tell you what I think was going on. I think it was the Spirit of God that was directing and working already in his life. And he couldn't have imagined all the things that God had for him down the road and how that God was going to use him. And so he went out and he bought a Bible. He began to read it and meditate upon it. He said he was so proud and arrogant that he would pray quietly in his room and he would stuff things in the keyhole of the door. You know, the old-fashioned doors with the old-fashioned keyhole. He would stuff things in there because he was afraid someone would look in the keyhole and see him praying or see him reading his Bible. He was so proud that he would not. This went on for a long time, weeks and months, that God was dealing with him and he was reading the Scriptures and meditating on, and God was talking to him, and then he would pray quietly in his room. There was this striving and struggling going on in his heart till finally, October 1821, he said, this terrible feeling came over me that I was going to die and go to hell. And the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? He said, no words can express the love that was in my heart. I wept aloud with joy. I literally bellowed out the unutterable gushings of my heart. Praise God. So this proud man that had called himself a heathen, now he's been changed by the grace of God. In his own little private room, he's been saved. And he's so overwhelmed with what God has done in his life that he can't keep it quiet anymore. It wasn't long after that that he met a man that he was serving him as an attorney. And he talked to him, wanting him to do work for him as a lawyer. And Finney said, I have a retainer from the Lord Jesus Christ to plead his cause and can no longer plead yours. He said that the man looked at him with astonishment and said, what do you mean? I told him in few words that I enlisted in the cause of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the rest of the story we've read about the great, unbelievable ministry of a man like Finney, and he could have never imagined the plan of God that was going to unfold for him to use him mightily. Hundreds of thousands of people that were going to be converted and whole cities were going to be transformed because of the ministry of Finney. And I want you to know, it's not, thank God for the day you got saved. Thank God, and you should every day, you should praise God for the day that you came to the Lord and were born again. Praise God. But you should also be rejoicing in the fact that God keeps talking to you and he keeps dealing with you and he keeps leading you because he wants to change you. He wants to make you into something you can't even imagine. He wants to use you in ways that you can't even dream of. God's ways are unsearchable. They're past finding out. You could never imagine what God would want to do with you if you'll just place yourself in the hands of the Lord. Finney, in his pride, had to humble himself, but in that condition, finally saved, he said, I bellowed out my praises to God. Glory be to God. I'm glad for a Savior who brings about change in our life, who changes us when we're saved, and then just keeps on changing us. Amen. If you're not a better man or a better woman now than you were 20 years ago, what good has your 20 years of conversion been? Well, it hasn't reached the potential that God has for you. Because who knows what the Lord might want to do and how that his mighty hand upon you might want to do some wonderful, mighty things if you'll make yourself available to the Lord. Your question might be, I don't know how can this ever happen? Well, you have to respond like the man who was laying at the pool. You have to decide, yes, I want to let the Lord change me. I want to let him touch me. I want to let him to move upon me. 38 years he's been sitting there by the pool. He's been a beggar. He's been weak and dependent on other people. All of those years, he'd grown accustomed to all of those things. That was his life. He had accepted it. That's the life that I'm going to live. But then he met Jesus. You don't have to accept things as the way it was. When Jesus comes into your life, then there are unsearchable, deep, wonderful things that God has planned that in store for you that you could never imagine if you'd just be willing to let the Lord have his way with you. Amen. And this, in Bible times, in such poverty and the circumstance that he was in, he was probably abandoned as a child or a young person by parents who couldn't afford to take care of him. And all of his life had just been a life of just sitting there waiting. Sitting there waiting for something miraculous to happen. Do you know that God is not pleased that we would just sit waiting? What he wants us to do is to respond in faith. And believe that God's plan is greater than anything you could ever imagine. Amen. Glory to God. Wilt thou be whole? This impotent man, sir, said, sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled, nobody can put me down in the pool. While I'm coming, somebody steps down before me. And Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. He heard the word. He heard the word. The word of God was all it took to break the chains of all that had kept him sitting by that pool and in that bondage and that circumstance all those many years. When Jesus steps on the scene, he brings transformation. He brings change. He changes your life. He turns things around for you for the glory of God. Hallelujah. So you have to really want to be changed. You have to desire to let God change you, work in your life, make you to be something that you could never imagine that you could be. You have to want it. You have to desire it. You have to long for it. Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be changed? Do you want to be more fruitful? Do you really want God's plan to be fulfilled in your life? If you do, then obey his word. Obey his voice. Step forward in faith. Rise up. Take up your bed and walk. You know, it's such a bewildering thing to me when I read this text about the religious leaders of that time who were more concerned. It's like they didn't even notice that this man, 38 years crippled, on the sitting there, it's like they didn't even notice the great miracle that took place. All that they were concerned about, what's he doing carrying his bed? What's he doing carrying his bed? This is the Sabbath. He's breaking the law. What's he doing? Jesus has stepped on the scene, and he superseded everything that was going on there by that pool, even the Sabbath. He's greater than the Sabbath because he stepped on the scene and Jesus brought about the change. Amen. Do you want to change? Stop making excuses. Quit saying, I can't. I can't do that. I can't do that ministry. I could never do that. I could never step out in faith. I could never. Quit saying that. Quit making excuses. If you'll put yourself in the hands of the Lord and say, Lord, okay, I don't know how this is going to happen, but whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do it. I'll do it. Whatever your plan is, Lord, I'm willing to step forward and do it. I want to do your will. I want to do your plan. My brother David, his wife's grandmother is a lady that's in the church out there in Sand Springs where we pastored. She's 90 years old now. When we were there, she was in her 50s. And just a little, humble little couple that came into the church and became such a precious family in the church and came to me and said, what can we do? We want to do something. And so I put them at the door, like these other brothers. I put them at the door as greeters. And they stood there at that door until her husband passed away, and then she wasn't able to stand very long back there. They stood back there, and they greeted people, and they welcomed people to the house of God. And she had said to me at another time, what can I do? I want to do something for the Lord. And she told us she'd traveled up to my brother's surgery, 90 years old. She'd traveled up there. And so sitting there at the surgery, we mentioned something to her. Are you still sending out all those cards? Because she started sending out birthday cards, anniversary cards, all these get well cards. And it's her own little ministry. And all these years that we've been in London, every event, birthdays, anniversaries, special events, we still get the cards from Sister Seymour. She writes them out and gives her greeting to people. And she's 90 now, and she's still being used of God. Glory to God. You can be used of the Lord. God can put his hand upon you. And he can do with you. And he can things that you can't ever imagine. Amen. Jesus said, do you want to change? Or do you just want to lay here by this pool the rest of your life? Do you want to change? Can you imagine the transformation? We don't know. All that we know is that he just went his way and with Jesus. But we do know that Jesus met him in the temple. So he didn't neglect or forget his spiritual life. Jesus even gave him the warning. Don't turn away from God. Something worse could happen to you if you turn away from the Lord. But he's there in the temple, and Jesus met him in the temple. So he wasn't neglecting God or spiritual things. I don't know. Maybe heaven is going to be the revelation of how God used people like that in ways you could never imagine. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You want to be used of the Lord? You want to be changed by the power of God? Then believe God. Amen. Take it to heart. Rise up. Walk. Begin to do whatever it is that God allows you to do. It's possible to break out of the pattern of what you've always done. Amen. It's possible to break out of the pattern of the way you've always done things and to seek the Lord at a new level, to pursue the things of God at a new level, to step out in faith in ways that you have never before. I have to tell you that all this stuff, like for instance this year, the homeless shelter and all the things, I've been tied up, wrapped up in so many things this year, but I wanted God to open doors and to allow me to step out and to do some new things, some things that he wants me to do. And I believe that God has some things that he wants to do in you and in me and through us here as a body. But we're going to have to be willing to allow the Lord to do that work in us. Change is possible. But we have to admit, Lord, I need your help. I need your touch. I can't get up on my own. Take up thy bed and walk. And that's exactly what he did. As he stood up and began to move forward and was miraculously touched by the power of God. Amen. Now, in a nutshell, here's the message. This is my heart. My heart. As a pastor, I like to see everybody, every one of you, every one of you here, stepping forward into what God has for you. I would love to be surprised by the wonderful changes that God begins to do in you. Praise God. I'd love to see the change. The same God who brought about the wonderful change and transformation when you got saved is the same God that keeps on dealing with us and keeps on leading us. And he continues. He doesn't save you and then walk away from you. He saved your soul, and then he put you on a pathway of purpose that he wanted you to fulfill. Your life has a design, has a purpose, and God's plan for that is something greater than you could ever imagine if you can step into that. Get up. Put the past over your shoulder and move forward. Amen. Do what God and allow him to bring about the change in you. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you can deal with us and you do deal with us. Thank you, Lord, that you can speak to your people, to your church, and deal with us, Lord, about many areas of our life, Lord, where we've just become complacent. Satisfied to lay by the pool, satisfied for just no expectation of any day ever being any different. But Lord, I know that you can work in us, Lord, to change us. And Lord, cause faith to rise up in our heart to see wonderful and mighty things that you might want to do through us for your glory. And I pray, Lord, that you would just stir the hearts of men and women. Stir the hearts of young folks in this service tonight as we pursue you, as we pursue your plan, Lord, and we not allow ourselves to just become complacent, unchanged, unmoved, but Lord, to recognize that this wonderful work of the Spirit of God in us, that you're striving with us, you're brooding over your people, because you want us to live out the days of our life, bringing glory to your name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord.